You're with Clement Maniatella.
702. Let's walk the talk.
It's 24 minutes after 10 o'clock. You're listening to the Clement Maniatella Show live from Cliptown in Soweto. We're discussing the state of our infrastructure. Why is it collapsing? And what are the solutions? We just spoke to the acting CEO for Prasa Railway, Nelson Malefane, who told us and took us through the plan that they have as Prasa to fix the rail networks. He spoke to us about these new trains that they're going to be fitting. They've got these incredible features, including cameras inside. He's spoken to us about the policy around trading at these train stations. I want us now to talk about broader transport infrastructure, particularly in the province of Gauteng. I've got the MEC of Transport in Gauteng, Mr. Jacob Mamabolo. Thank you so much for coming through, MEC. Good morning.
Good morning to you, to all the listeners, and I must sincerely thank you for inviting us on a very important and exciting day when the whole global community is celebrating the life of our icon, Ntate Nelson Mandela. So thank you very much.
Yeah. I have been taking some calls from our listeners this morning on the 702 open line, and I can't tell you how many people called in MEC complaining about the state of our roads. And I have been one of those who has had to spend quite a considerable amount of money in just 2 weeks because of the state of our roads. How are you fixing that? How are we making sure that our roads are not filled with potholes?
I think the very first issue that we must state up front, it's an acknowledgement that indeed we do have problems on our road network. And that relates to two issues. One is the need to expand the roads, and the other one that is building new roads. The second one is about road maintenance. And in road maintenance, of course, there are also issues of rehabilitating some of these roads because they've outlived the time that they actually have to be in good condition. Then, of course, there's road patching here and there, grass cutting, you know, vegetation and all that. So what the question you're asking about, how are we solving this problem? Two ways, and maybe let me start with the very same one you asked about potholes. You'll recall that just a few months ago, we launched the first of its kind, state-of-the-art pothole app, which we launched in Diepsloot. And the reason why we launched the app, it was so that we could give members of the public the opportunity to report pressure points to us, but also to make sure that ourselves have got a better management system of how to respond to potholes. We know where they are. Now, I can share with you that the app is working very well. In the very few weeks that we launched it, out of five, it was rated number three. And the usage of the pothole was quite excellent in that a number of them have been reported. And as matters stand, we have received in total thus far, and I checked this morning, about 2,000 potholes that have been reported.
In what space? In the space of...
Since we launched it in April.
Okay. And yeah. How many of those have been repaired?
That's where I was going to. That in actual fact, when you look at the municipalities, the municipalities account for a bigger number of those. 1,845 of them belong to municipalities. So you will, the listeners will appreciate, and Johannesburg is leading with about 641 that have been reported, followed by Tshwane, of course, Ekurhuleni. But the issue here is that in the case of the provincial potholes, the ones that we as the provincial government are responsible for, we have had 222 reported. And then, of course, there are those that are reported to SANRAL. So what we have already fixed and repaired about 115 of those. And there is about 68 of them that is receiving attention.
Wait, out of the 2,000 that were reported since you launched the app.
Yeah, so the remember, these are provincial ones. Yeah. So we have had 222, and then we have repaired about 115 on the app. So there is still a breakdown of those that are work in progress that the officials are working on. But every Saturday, Sunday, we have got smart mobility weekends in which we work every weekend. Just this weekend, we were in the city of Joburg, fixing potholes. We do that every weekend. Last week, we were in the city of Tshwane in Hammanskraal. When I leave here, we are going to be fixing potholes as part of our Nelson Mandela Activities Day. The big issue, though, which is what I call the elephant in the room, is the capacity of municipalities to respond to the potholes that they have. So as a provincial government and SANRAL, I can assure you, the performance is quite good. Today, I've issued an instruction to the HOD and the officials that by Monday, we should have a zero number of potholes that are reported to us at the province. So starting next week, we should be running on a zero. We should have fixed all of them that are remaining. So the point I'm trying to make is the big issue in the that we're having is this 1,845 potholes that municipalities need to fix. So that is what is creating a problem for us. So we are now trying to say to municipalities as the provincial government, let us sign memorandum of understanding, MOUs, so that if you don't respond to potholes within a certain space of time, we as the provincial government go fix that pothole. Because we currently, we are spheres of government. Provincial money can be used on another sphere of government. That's why we need MOUs so that we don't get audit queries. So there are few municipalities that are already signing with us so that we can say to the public, if you report a pothole, this is the turnaround time it will take to fix it. If it's not fixed within that timeline, as a province, we will now take it upon ourselves to go fix. So you are right, the data is there, that there are problems.
I see. And I want us to talk about how you can capacitate those municipalities, because I mean, if you as a provincial government, you're intervening even through that memorandum of understanding, that doesn't fix the bigger problem of the capacity. Why can't they do the job? Because aren't there funds allocated for those municipalities to also fix the roads? So how do we capacitate them? And I want us to talk about the end of life of design for some of these roads, which is something you mentioned. And I'll give you an opportunity to talk about that after the latest in Eyewitness News headlines. It's just after 10:30.
Let's walk the talk.
This is Clement Manyathela
on 702.
It's 24 minutes before 11 o'clock. We are continuing our conversation with the MEC of Transport, Jacob Mamabolo. That's the MEC of Transport in Gauteng. We've been talking about potholes. He told us about an app that has really led to a number, I think 2,000 or so, that have been reported, and there are several that have also been responded to. MEC, earlier I was a little surprised that as the provincial government you have to intervene to assist municipalities, but it's part of their work to be able to maintain the infrastructure, particularly road infrastructure, when it comes to these potholes. You told me off air about the US DG, that's the Urban Settlement Development Grant. I know about the Municipal Infrastructure Grant. Why are they not using that to fix the potholes? Now you as the provincial government have to come and do the work that they're supposed to be doing as municipalities.
Once more, thank you very much. Very briefly, the USDG, which is the Urban Settlement Development Grant, in most instances is used for bulk infrastructure provision for new developments. In that, there is no dedicated portion of it that goes into
maintenance.
So it competes with other priorities, and sometimes allocations are made from own revenue in the municipalities. In the local municipalities that are not metros, so it's the municipal infrastructure grant. Same thing, new projects, including maintenance. But the road, it's always, not given attention, is not being mainstreamed. So that's the big issue. Remember, capacity for road maintenance requires people. You must have staff. You must have material. You must have equipment. And we have seen with the smart mobilities, most municipalities are thin on those resources. The other issue that is very important is that with us as the provincial government, we are allocated a grant called Provincial Road Maintenance Grant. Mm. That grant is specifically for maintaining the road. I wish, and I've engaged SALGA on this issue, that it is high time that municipalities must have ring-fenced money for road maintenance, because if you want to see municipal dysfunctionality, you will see it on the roads, with water, sewer, running on the roads, potholes, bad conditions of the road. So the road tells you whether a municipality works or doesn't work. So to that extent, it is high time that you have got dedicated, ring-fenced monies that you have got no option of moving around, dedicated to the road network. So again,
I'm surprised, because that's the most basic thing to do. Like, you don't build roads and think they're going to be in that condition forever. They've got to be maintained. So as a municipality, if you don't have funds that are ring-fenced and are dedicated to that, what exactly are you hoping for?
But for us as the provincial government, the approach we are taking is, for the benefit of the people, finger-pointing, it's municipal, it's province, it's national, it's not going to help us. Because people want a seamless movement from your house, municipal road, provincial road, national road. Mm. So what we are doing is, we are doing the MOU to say we are a unitary government. The law says where municipalities are battling on road infrastructure or transport infrastructure, we must offer one form of support to another. Mm. So we are tightening up that, so that we can solve this problem. Government will solve its back office issues there. But in the meantime, while those policy issues are looked at, let us help municipalities. If you don't fix your pothole as a municipality within this period, I can tell you very soon we will come and fix it. Because we want to say to members of the public, once you report a pothole, within so many days, it will be fixed. Yeah. It doesn't matter whether it's central, provincial, or local. So that's what we're
saying. Yeah, we need a sustainable solution. Your intervention, absolutely. It's in the meantime. Yes. But government needs to do something to sort out its business, especially at that municipal level, so that there's no need to spend more time getting that intervention of provincial government. Here's a problem, though, MUC. Some of the potholes are being fixed. As soon as they are being fixed, it's another hole again. And sometimes that speaks to the lifespan of the roads. I remember the transport minister saying about 80% of the country's roads have reached the end of their design life. So as the government here in Gauteng, what are you doing to build new roads so that even when you go fix that pothole, 2 days later, it's not back to its same? Because just even the way that it's being fixed, it doesn't help much. You see a pothole today, it's fixed tomorrow, 2 days later, the same pothole is back.
So a few things there. We are very much pleased with the total portfolio of the new roads that we are going to build. And when I just look at our dashboard, it will tell you that we have got, and I can show it to you because we have automated our road construction portfolio. Mm. We have got a total portfolio of 98 projects. Some are in planning, some are in design, some are in construction already. Mm-hmm. And then it includes key maintenance of our roads. So just for example, when I live here, I'm going here at Lens. There's the R55 road that we are doing. We're looking at it. We're expanding Allendale Road, K101, or the old the road in Midrand that runs parallel with M1. There's a massive construction taking place there. We've just completed a road in Diepsloot running parallel with N14 in Sidibeng. So the provincial portfolio that I'm showing you of 98 roads or projects is doing exceptionally well. We are satisfied with that. In Mfuleni, where the road network has reached the end of its lifespan and the roads are collapsing, and with all the sewer problems, last year, November 2021, we handed over to the municipality new rehabilitated roads. Total number is 21, done to high quality, high standards. And then we are now going to be doing 32 remaining roads in Mfuleni. So even for ourselves as the provincial government, we do have road rehabilitation. But a municipality like Mfuleni, we are going to do the remaining 32 roads. Yeah. So to that extent, we do have a very clear program to expand existing roads, to build new roads, and to maintain existing roads. And we are deeply delighted with the progress we have made thus far to make sure that we build new roads. And very exciting of the partnership we have with the private sector. The road we're doing in Allendale, we're working with the waterfall developers, Stain City in Diepsloot, and I can mention the biggest automotive sector in Roslyn. We're building a new road in partnership with them. There's what's called in the city of Tshwane, the Rainbow Junction, with 12 billion new smart city that they're building. We are doing what is called the Apis River for them.
Yeah.
So in Moy River there's also in city of Tshwane another private sector partnership. So we are working with the private sector to augment and improve on our little resources.
In the past, you've raised concerns about the manual process in delivering infrastructure. What will be the impact of just switching to automation in the way that transport infrastructure is delivered in this province?
Yeah, if for example, I was just to say to you, if we were to look at what the McKinsey Global Institute has reported about infrastructure globally, one issue they are saying, while the financial services sector, the retail sector have gone into full automation, construction and the built environment is still manual. In other words, we're working like we're still in the old, doing the Egyptian pyramids in the Stone Age. So what we are doing in this province is, like we have introduced an app. I've just shown you our dashboard, which is using a license to monitor all our projects, as you have seen here. And that's why I brought my iPad with you to show you. We are monitoring our projects in an automated way. And again, we have also introduced a very dynamic concept which we call the compliance office. We have appointed one of the top best law firms in the country to help us with contracts, because one of the reasons why there's underperformance is contractors and engineering firms sign agreements with us, but they don't comply with them. They only comply with them when they do malls, doing projects of the private sector. When they work with government, they don't. The area where I'm going to now, it's the first since we established the compliance office in April, we have just terminated the contractor here. So the other projects that we finished in Sidibeng and here in Diepsloot is because we issued letters of termination. So automation, law enforcement, compliance are helping us improve our portfolio.
Someone is asking about the R511 from Four Ways to Diepsloot. They're asking what's happening with that road.
R511, so maybe
you can check that out, and then I'll give the listeners the feedback just during the course of the show. The second question I have from a listener is around Gautrain. Is there still a plan to merge Metrorail with Gautrain? This is something I spoke to you about this at some point on my show, I think 2 years ago. Are you guys still looking at exploring that?
Let me say we have launched and established what we call the Gauteng Transport Authority. This morning I received a report from them. They are meeting with and engaging with national government. The Transport Authority's role is integration. Remember, Minister Mbalula a few months ago announced that the rail policy. What does rail policy say? It says for the first time, Gautrain is the best way of running rail, passenger rail. So, and it also say they are policy is recommending that spheres of government below national can be mandated, empowered to work with PRASA on the management of the rail line. So to that extent, there's good progress, but the Transport Authority is the vehicle that is going to help us to make sure we've got better engagements, to use the expertise and the skills that Gautrain has in order. I mean, just an example, during the COVID-19 lockdowns, the PRASA rail network was wiped out, taken completely. No single piece of Gautrain rail network was touched. So already that tells you that the partnership between the two will only benefit the country and those discussions are.
But doesn't it talk about the distribution of resources and what we prioritize? I mean, security. I mean, when you look at the Gautrain security, that's more than what you have at a Metro Rail.
Well, the point we're just making is we've got best benchmark, best practice, best model here in the province, and we are doing very well. So whether it's resource allocation, remember that the issues of corporate capture of the state, looting, acts of corruption have also eroded the capacity of PRASA to do what it has done. Gautrain has received an award being one of the best managed public entities. Mm. So the point I'm making is there's lessons that can be learned.
But the point I'm making, MEC, is you as government are spending more money on Gautrain than you are on Metro Rail. And Gautrain only services the middle class, the few. Metro Rail services millions of people who are coming from communities. So hence I'm saying, even when you look at infrastructure and how vandalized it is, Gautrain has better security than Metro Rail, because as government, for some reason, you've chosen to prioritize that.
The point I'm making is that I think if there was time, I would have taken you up on the issue of treating Gautrain as an elitist mode of transport, because we don't look at Gautrain in that way. We look at Gautrain as a strategic asset in the province that is helping us to even make sure that we can build a powerful property and retail sector that's creating jobs, that's empowering people. And Gautrain is also going to help us to move people from the road to rail. Imagine if all those parked cars at Gautrain, parking stations, were on the road. We will not be able to move on the road. So when we look at Gautrain, we must not narrowly look at it as just a coach. Like the way the taxi guys advise them, don't just look at the taxi as a vehicle narrowly. Mm. So imagine if we take all those cars at Gautrain station during peak hour, every hour they're on the road. The economy of this province would have been worse. Actually, let me say this to you. The next biggest threat to economic growth after Eskom is congestion on the road. So if Gautrain did not migrate people from the road to rail, the economy of this province's contribution, 35% GDP, would have been, I can tell you, maybe at half. Because investors would have left, the movement of people, workers, labor, would have not been possible, including freight, because the road is congested.
Yeah.
So we mustn't look at Gautrain in the way that we tend to look at it. We must look at Gautrain as a strategic asset. I can tell you, imagine a Rose Bank without Gautrain. All those big buildings and properties that are built there would have not been there. Centurion, Santin, and now we're going to be taking it into the townships.
Yeah.
So the capacity of Gautrain to carry and keep the economy of this province must not be underestimated.
MEC, thank you so much. I always appreciate you coming through and having engagements with us around these critical issues. That's Jacob Mamabolo.
Thank you very much.
Gauteng MEC for Public Transport and Infrastructure.